All right, back on the post game. So we're going to do this story about this Russian who was killed here in America more informally, like we would do on Old School or, or here. So I'm not going to do all the graphics and yada yada. But so it's a story about this guy named Mikhail Lessin, and he'd been doing media slash propaganda for the Russian government for a long time. Now he's involved in private business, but he gets contracted out, etc. So he worked for Boris Yeltsin and then later for Putin, and he was among the very top advisors to Putin, and he's the one who started Russia Today, which was then later renamed RT. Mm-hmm. And then in 2009, so a while back, he had a falling out with the people in Putin's inner circle, and so he then see, now I'm not doing it with the graphics, and I want to make sure I get the timing right, because in 2015 is when he really went. In 2009, his career with the government ended when Medvedev took over for Russia's presidency, took over the presidency. But he was brought back in by Putin later, okay, and then he wound up buying a whole bunch of stuff because he's very, very wealthy. Anybody connected to Putin just magically winds up with tons and tons of money, right? Right.
Did he buy a bunch of US properties?
Of course he did. Yeah. And guess where he did, Anna?
LA?
Yes.
Anyway, let's move on.
Okay, I didn't even mean to go there. And all of a sudden, right, we're right back in the soup. Okay. Anyway, he bought in LA, Beverly Hills, Brentwood. He bought for himself, his daughter, his son, etc. His son's a Hollywood producer now, and has he even produced Fury, that Brad Pitt movie, and the and Dirty Grandpa. So anyway, that's not relevant, and I don't care about his kid. $28 million in property at least, and he had a yacht valued at $40 million. Okay, so then he does RT, all that stuff when Putin's back in 2012. But the falling out happens in 2015. Mm-hmm. Nobody really knows why. So we can sit here and guess as to why, but maybe he screwed someone over in a business. It doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. So, but the fact that there was a falling out is absolutely clear. He goes hides in the Swiss Alps because he's afraid people are going to come to kill him. You might say paranoid. No, if Putin is unhappy with you, it is not paranoid to think that somebody might come to get you. In fact, that appears to be exactly what happened to him just a year later. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so he eventually winds up coming back here, and then he's worried about what they're going to do to his family. So he decides that he's going to cooperate with the Department of Justice. So not even a year later, I think he got killed that year in 2015. And so again, this, I know it's got the Russians in it, but it's not about the election. So everybody power down on that point. But it does go to show you how brazen the Russian government often is. And BuzzFeed did this story. It's really interesting. If you want to get all the details and accurately, read BuzzFeed article on it. And they have three FBI agents who talked to BuzzFeed about what wound up happening to this guy. So he is decides he's going to turn evidence for the FBI. They put him up in a middling hotel in DC area. The night before he's going to testify, he his body is he's killed. His body is found battered. Okay, broken ribs. The broken ribs is a new revelation in this story. But wounds to his head, his body, all over his body. And the sources from the FBI that talked to BuzzFeed say that he was beaten with a baseball bat and murdered.
Fuck.
Okay. But our government officials called it an accident and said he fell down multiple times.
What?
What the fuck?
Fell down where? Like
in his hotel room, he fell down multiple times on the floor and caused those injuries? That is preposterous. And the day before he was going to testify to the FBI, wow, what a coincidence. I just happened to like throw my head and different parts of my body on the ground. This is the most unbelievable story. And now those sources from the FBI saying he was whacked. That's a quote. Okay. So, so why? And it turns out this happened several times in the US, but in Great Britain, it's happened 14 times where they believe the Russian government has executed their opponents within the UK.
What?
Okay.
Wow.
And now they don't speculate too much as to why our governments cover up for Russian crimes, but I have an easy piece of speculation on that. They're embarrassed. Mm. He was under their protection and they let the Russians walk into his hotel room and murder him right under their own nose. Mm-hmm. And so in order to cover their own ass and their own incompetence, they say, oh, he fell down multiple times. So,
I mean,
no, but that doesn't help us, man. I don't want you to cover your own ass. I mean, if there was somebody murdered in America by a foreign government, I want you to fucking investigate that and solve that. I don't care who gets fucking embarrassed over it. So it's unbelievable. I mean, this is like something that you get to see out of the Central Asian republics where they say, or Russia, where they recently executed a whole bunch of diplomats. One of them, they threw out of his window in his apartment and then said, oh no, he was trying to put a bathtub in his apartment and the bathtub fell on his head while he was downstairs. Come on. And there's one guy after another among the Russian diplomats executed in the back of his car. They're like, oh, he committed suicide. Who sits in the back seat of their car and commits suicide and shoots themselves several times? Okay.
Man.
So first of all, let's not lose track for it because there's a right wing, left wing, there's lots of spin out there, right? Putin is a super bad guy.
Yeah.
This look, come on, man. He has killed so many. It's not like, look, he's even a step above Erdogan. Erdogan imprisons a ton of journalists and imprisons maybe more journalists than anyone else, okay? But Putin absolutely executes his opponents. There's another story not related to this where somebody turned on Putin and was talking to the British government. Poisoned, murdered.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's one of at least two poisonings in the UK. And what, again, the thing that infuriates me about this is I get it. Putin kills his opponents. Well, number one, we should all be clear about that. And so if we're pissed at dictators who do similar stuff, we should be super pissed at Putin, especially if he's doing it on our soil. But the thing that makes me the most angry is about us, that we would cover up for Putin's crimes because you're embarrassed. Fucking outrageous.
Yeah. That's some scary shit.
Yeah. So look, it's BuzzFeed's report. You know, I guess if you want to be skeptical, you could say, oh, maybe they don't have three FBI sources. Maybe they just made it up. Okay. Mm-hmm. That seems very, very unlikely to me. And we do, there are facts that are indisputable in the case, which is all of his injuries and the excuse by our government that he had fallen down multiple times. By putting out excuses like that, you're doing Putin's work for him. Ah!
So that's a tragic and incredibly scary story. But so he was the founder of RT. And when he was the founder of RT, he was in cahoots with Putin, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So look.
That's unfortunate.
No, look, look, look. So guys, that's a super tricky topic. And we're really lucky here that we have somehow just walked that line where we have not gotten, we don't do propaganda for the US government, which almost all of cable news does, right? So the Fox News picks the Republican Party to do propaganda for, MSNBC, kind of the Democratic Party, but don't rock the boat. And CNN, US government's always all right. Pentagon's wonderful, all of our allies are great, all of our enemies are the worst, and yada, 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 right? On the other hand, of course, RT is not going to criticize the Russian government. They're financed by the Russian government, of course. Al Jazeera is not going to criticize Qatar's government. There's Telesur is not going to criticize Maduro, that's Venezuelan TV. Okay, now that
no one's going to criticize Maduro right now.
Yeah,
yeah.
Be careful. And TRT in Turkey used to be actually a really great outlet. It was kind of like the BBC. But now almost all the media, not all, but a lot of the media in Turkey has been corrupted by Erdogan, right? Whether he's imprisoned people, threatened people, etc., and kind of co-opted the media there. But that doesn't mean that there aren't good people who work at all of those organizations.
Right, yeah.
Like Al Jazeera has done wonderful investigative work, not just here, but especially internationally. And they hired real reporters. So yeah, there's some guideposts, but believe me, CNN, I personally experienced it at MSNBC, there are also guideposts. There are also corrupting influences, whether it's the government or it's advertisers, etc. Mm-hmm. So that's not to justify what RT's purpose is or what they're doing, but it does mean that everybody who works there is not guilty. They didn't all get the memo. Like for example, the story we did today from Fox News, where Zimmerman apparently made up the quotes about Rod Wheeler, about the Seth Rich conspiracy. So if you want to attack Fox News executives for allowing that to happen, Zimmerman for making up the quotes, and Batowski for organizing it, and he's a Fox News analyst and a Republican donor, etc., you should blame them. That doesn't mean that Ed Henry was part of the conspiracy and is a terrible journalist. Now you might think Ed Henry's a bad journalist for other reasons, okay? But not everybody in the building is guilty. Mm-hmm. And not everybody in the building is guilty at RT for this. They don't know what the hell is going on in the inner circles. They're just doing their show, right? Now, if it's a different story, if they got word, hey, take this out of your show, and they said, yes, sir, right? That's a different story. But as long as they're just doing their show honestly and genuinely, you know, look, let me be even clearer, okay? Because I don't want to seem like I don't have a dog in the fight. I have friends who work at RT, and I have some friends left who work in Al Jazeera, right? Or AJ Plus, et cetera, right? And I know they're good guys.
Yeah.
And I would be shocked if they were corrupted. And now let me take a guy who I know a little bit, but I would consider Tom Hartman a friend. But Ed Schultz, I just know a little bit, right? So I have less of a dog in that fight, right? Now, where the fuck is Ed supposed to go? So MSNBC lets him go because he was being too aggressive progressively.
Yeah.
in a progressive direction. Anyway, and so somebody offers him to do his show the way he wants to do his show. And I assume they don't interfere, but if you have evidence that they do, that's a different story, like I said.
Yeah.
So he goes and does his show, and it's on RT. Where the hell else is he supposed to go? So
I feel like and I'm not saying this to be boastful or whatever. I'm saying this because it's actually kind of sad. I feel like we're the only outlet that doesn't have any influence from a government or corporations, right?
Yeah. By the way, that's why we've been poor for so long.
Yeah.
Right? Because how are you going to put together a giant media organization? Either you're going to be part of a multi-billion-dollar corporation, or you're going to have a government with billions of dollars fund you. So that's why we've been able to kind of walk the line. And so, look, you need money to run stuff, okay? The question is, where are you going to get the money?
Right.
And to try to keep the show as honest as possible.
Right.
And there are better sources, and there are sources that are not as good. So like people get all over our shit because we did one marketing deal with AJ, right? With Al Jazeera America, right? It was a marketing deal. And hence a partnership in that sense.
Yeah.
Everybody's been saying now, oh yeah, Al Jazeera owns you, or Al Jazeera bought you, Al Jazeera has an investment in you. None of that is true. In fact, we actively left Al Jazeera when it bought Current TV. We made the decision that we didn't want to work for Al Jazeera. But again, I'm not imputing the people who do. That was just a decision we made.
Right.
And so doing one marketing deal with them or anyone else, like we did a marketing deal with a whole bunch of other sponsors, that doesn't mean we work for them.
Right.
It's just a deal, right? And you only do that if you like, in that case, we like their reporting. Mm-hmm. The reporting that we did a deal on was great. I mean, we still quote some of those reports to this day. We don't do the deals that we don't like, right?
Yeah.
Which again is why we're poor.
Right. And it's definitely so. Just to kind of give you my perspective on it, and I don't want to speak for John, but he and I commiserated about this quite a bit. You know, during the election, like for me, because of like family healthcare issues or whatever, it was just a really tough time for me financially, right? Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I was kind of struggling and sinking, and like I was stressed out. And then we do the Fusion show, and the Fusion show, I mean, it's just, okay, so we do the Fusion show and people are like, sell out, it's it's because some rando person that works at Fusion is apparently like a Hillary supporter, so now you're forced to be a Hillary supporter. Except we do the Fusion show. How are we like, I'm struggling with money at that point, right? Not anymore, but at that point. We're traveling to, you know, every weekend to all these college campuses to do this show where I hound Hillary over and over again. John does it over and over again. No one's telling us what to say, how to act, where to be. Like, we're doing what we do without any censorship. If you were like, sellouts, oh, how does it feel? You're probably a millionaire now. And I'm just like, I just want to shoot myself right now. I can't handle life.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
So look, when I say we're poor, there's no pity part.
Yeah, okay? No,
we're fine. We're fine. I'm just saying that we don't have billions of dollars, and like the other media organizations, which makes it super tough to compete with them because they overpower us in a lot of ways. But as you might know, we're too strong. Mm-hmm. So a Fusion deal is actually a really good example. So it's not a rando person, to be fair. The owner of Fusion is Haim Saban. He is the top donor to Hillary Clinton.
I know, I should know who that is. And I know you've explained to me who he is in the past. I don't really know who he is, and I don't care that much.
No, you shouldn't care, because I don't even know if he knows we did that deal.
Right?
He's all the way up there. The person who made that deal with us is like seven layers below him.
Yeah.
Right? There's no like, boo-ha-ha. Second of all, the way, like, we didn't mean to do it, but you guys did the show with Neera Tanden, mm-hmm. where you guys didn't ask her enough questions. It was because of TV and how time scrunched it is. So if there was a secret plot, boy, did we fuck that up, because she was pretty pissed.
Yeah, she was. She hates us.
Yeah. So and is not happy with us to this day. And we're way oversharing here. But okay, like, there was no secret deal. They did, in fact. We don't do deals where they don't give us complete editorial control. So that's, you know, which also prevents making more money,
right.
Okay? But we don't want to corrupt the show. So, but you cannot say don't do any deals because somebody at another company or some investor or somebody has a different opinion than you. Well, then you can't do anything, then go home, right?
Yeah.
So the best way to walk the line, we think, is to make deals where we have editorial control, they don't mess with what we put on the air, and we do an independent, honest show for you guys. So that's what we try. But all this is not to brag, because I'm telling you, there are really good journalists at those organizations that we listed.
Mm-hmm.
So you should do both. You should know the motivation of the organization to some degree, know who owns it, etc. But at the same time, if you see a good report on there that has nothing to do with Russia or Qatar or what, Venezuela or wherever, then there's nothing wrong with that report. Go ahead, watch it, learn from it, etc.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, don't rely on one source, right? So, look, people tell me every once in a while, like, oh, I only watch the Young Turks. Thank you. I mean, that's super nice, but no, don't just watch the Young Turks. You know, I don't know how you feel about that.
No,
you should watch. You should have multiple sources of news.
And yeah, other Young Turks shows.
Anyway, and that's not because I think that we mislead or anything like that, but
kind of.
I think that it's important to have a healthy media diet, and relying on one source is never a good idea.
Okay, last thing on this.
Yeah.
So, and now this is the millionth criticism in a row, because that's all there is online. There's also great compliments too, and don't get us wrong. We're not crying a river. We're not special snowflakes.
Yeah.
We're just telling you the context, okay? And I have a great job, and I say that every time, and I love you guys. Okay, so for our critics who are not you guys, they will say, you know, you should fire this host or that reporter or that reporter. But you're all over the map. Like some members will say this from time to time. But it's mainly outside critics. And even if you say it in a genuine, you go, okay, I don't like that guy. I think he's saying the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
So he's hurting the credibility of the Young Turks. And I think the members who say that are saying it with great intention, because they want to help us.
Right.
But guys, the other criticism is you don't have enough diversity of opinion. Well, we got diversity of opinion. You can't have diversity of opinion and have everybody agree with you. So it's a trade-off. And so I don't want to get too deep into that issue. I'm just telling you that none of this stuff is easy, and we're trying to do the best we can and walk in the line.
Right.
And so I don't want a network where everybody agrees with me. That's boring and uninteresting and does not help the dialogue. So yes, I really disagree with some of the points of some of our hosts and reporters. I think that's totally okay. So anyways, that's our situation. This was supposed to be about someone else. I don't know how we turn it back to about us. I mean, that's such a post-game thing to do.
Just the RT thing. I think it's interesting. Yeah. I think it's interesting. And having a conversation about, you know, credible news sources is important, especially right now.
Yep. And look, Reuters is not perfect. Associated Press is definitely not perfect. But they're way better than the others. Mm-hmm. So AFP, which is a French version of AP, is really good. McClatchy is really good. Guardian is excellent.
Yes, I love
Okay, obviously we like The Intercept. We like the work Sirota does on IB Times. So yes, check multiple sources. And the more independent they are, honestly, the better off usually. And at least AP and Reuters do their best to be objective. They lean a little too much towards neutral from time to time and are frustrating. But they do God's work in collecting all that news from all across the world, which we don't have anywhere near capacity to do.
Exactly.
So, all right, that's all. All right, much love. We'll see you guys tomorrow.